Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the west. I can see hydraulic British Columbia. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast, as always, is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, it's great. We're going to have some fun. Curtis Priest is with us. Curtis is the founder, the CEO at PixelCarve, PixelCarve.com. Curtis, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you, Robert. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you're also an Entrepreneurs Organization Toronto Chapter member, and we're going to be inviting a few of your members in to join us this year because you guys all have great stories to share and lessons that we can learn from. PixelCarve, the art of design, the science of persuasion, websites that convert. Why don't you tell us, Curtis, a little bit about yourself and how you came to found PixelCarve?
PixelCarve is 17 years old this month, actually. I started it out of the basement of my parents' home after I graduated high school. I'm one of those kind of entrepreneurs. Do it yourself to the core. But a year after I founded it, my cousin actually and I were talking at a Christmas party, and he was just graduating 3D animation school and had a lot of things in common, so we decided to partner up, and that really was the base of the company. At the time, the web was a very static world, very limited functionality with it, and I had a video background, he had a 3D animation background. Our goal was really to just bring this new thing, websites, the internet, to another level, really make it a lot more interactive, a lot more beautiful, integrate animation and video and style and substance. It really became our niche, high-end. We were the best known. We focused on working with really best-in-class companies across a range of verticals. We're not really focused on any particular industry exclusively. We have clients across fashion, entertainment, design, architecture, legal services is big, financial services is big for us, technology, et cetera. Really, it's just anyone that's best-in-class or aspires to be best-in-class.
Well, certainly there's some great portfolio work and videos on the pixelcarve.com website, but today we're going to talk about pivoting when your core competency is wiped away by the market. And this is a topic that you and I went back and forth a bit on, but we know we're going to have some hard-hitting and hard-learned points and some lessons that we want to share. So why don't we look at it this way? Give us a little bit about what your thoughts are about being a specialist in today's economy, in the digital and real world, and I'm curious why you have this opinion.
Oh, it's an interesting topic, people talking about becoming a niche specialist, that strategy from a business perspective. I mean, it's a strategy that we dove headfirst into at PixelCarve for many, many years. We invested a ton of time, money, resources, et cetera, into becoming really a leader in this one particular technology platform that was quite a ubiquitous platform. It was popular, but not a lot of people knew really how to use it well or how to develop on it well. So we hired a bunch of really great people. They mastered it. We branded ourselves around it. We just sort of became known for doing this one thing really, really well. And it helped us distinguish ourselves, gave us an edge when we were bidding on projects. Really becoming commoditized in this industry, which, you know, in the web industry, it really has become commoditized. You know, for sure, there's a long time there where that really was the secret to business success, our success, et cetera. But, you know, then we got blindsided and our entire industry got disrupted very, very quickly. Really, a single man at a single company disrupted my entire industry. And when that man is Steve Jobs and he runs a company called Apple, the world takes notice.
All right, so what happened to PixelCarve? How did Steve and Apple affect you?
We picked a technology platform that we're masters at. We backed. That platform was at odds with Apple's business model as they were releasing their mobile devices, iPhone, iPad, et cetera. He basically decided that this is not going to be a platform that I'm going to allow on my devices because it competes with his app model. It was going to completely deteriorate his concept of having apps on devices when what we were doing would let you do that in a browser for free. There was a business mindset behind it, and disruption happens all the time. We're a small business. We're in technology. You know, you look at the Ubers of the world. You look at the newspapers being disrupted. Every week, it seems like another industry is being turned upside down, but in our mind, we were pretty insulated because it seemed that this technology that we had picked was very ubiquitous on 99% of computers in the world. Every technology has its downside, and we like to gloss over those in our own minds because it was able to deliver so much of what we and our clients wanted. In hindsight, we should have seen it coming.
Well, let's talk about that. What should you have done differently to see a change coming?
There's a lot of things that you can do on a daily basis to become complacent. You can get into habits. You can have the same conversations all the time. You can convince yourself of your own quote-unquote bull. And so a lot of it is about thinking differently. We really had a very successful business model, and we were making good money, and we had great clients, and we loved what we did, and people loved what we did for them. So we absolutely got complacent. We put all of our eggs in one basket. Funny, I'm a big Star Trek geek, and when I was a kid, I had this poster up my wall that said, everything I need to know about life I learned from Star Trek. And one of the items right at the top was, don't put all your officers in one shuttlecraft. know, I stared at that every day. Apparently didn't absorb. It didn't click in because we backed one thing. We got really good at it and we were kind of oblivious to the rest of what was going on across all points. You know, it was the way that our systems operated. It was the way that we built our team. It was the way our team operated and thought. It was our sales process. It was our proposals. Everything that we did was built around doing things in this one way and thinking in a certain way and solving problems for our clients in this one way. At the core of it was our biggest mistake.
So let's talk about reinvention. Clearly, PixelCarve woke up. You woke up with the officers in the shuttlecraft. You said, we all got on the same boat and it's headed right to the earth. What would be the step you would take to reinvent and to becoming fleet of foot as you moved forward? What happened?
It's not an overnight thing. And I think reinvention really starts with acceptance, arriving at that place where you recognize that there's a severe problem. In our case, we try and deny it to ourselves. How could this happen to us? The injustice of it all. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, have those conversations. What it came down to for us is that we had to get to a place of grieving. Like, we had to grieve. We'd invested so much money and time and resources in our lives. If we had just tried to pivot without accepting the loss of that, then I think we'd be stuck in the same conversation for a very long time. So when I look back at it, we were going through the stages of grief. We were in shock. We were in denial. Pain and guilt from blaming ourselves for not doing enough to stop from happening. And we couldn't even have a conversation with a client or a team meeting without bringing this up and how mad we are that this happened to us. And then ultimately, you sink into the sort of state of depression. You're like, well, damn, like, we're not going to win this one. So, you know, now what do we do? And then eventually you get down to that bottom point at the base. You really have two options. Either you're out or you get back up. And I'm not an out kind of a guy, but I am a bit stubborn and obstinate. Sometimes it does require me to get right down to the worst point. But then that's when reinvention begins. And that's when you can get your hope back. At that point, it really just becomes a mindset shift when you're really ready to have a mindset shift. If you don't change the way that you think about every facet of your business, your industry, your clients, et cetera, even the world, then you're not really going to achieve any results that are different from where you're at. So for me, it starts with mindset, thinking differently, thinking bigger.
Okay, so let's step away from PixelCarve, because I understand that you were lambasted and Steve shot you down and hopes and dreams and everything were down in the gutter and you were all in the shuttlecraft. But now you've shifted your mindset. You've come to the realization we have to change. So you believe you've shifted your mindset, but what's next? What are the ways to successfully implement a crucial mind shift?
It comes down to a few different steps, and if you don't treat it as a process, at least in our experience, you kind of start to get sucked back into the cycle of it all. So for us, it started with a new vision, really just defining a completely new vision for not just the company, you know, bigger than that, really the industry, the market, the world, because this is now an opportunity for us. We're not weighed down by all of the baggage and the things that we used to do and how we used to do them. Now we have a new opportunity. In many ways, it was like a startup version of PixelCarve more than a decade into the company, which it starts becoming a thrill again. As an entrepreneur, you like reinventing. You like inventing, so to speak, right? And you can get complacent. And then you get comfortable. But then when an opportunity arises to take things to the next level or to evolve or to start something new, it's a lot of fun. And it's even more fun when you have the resources and the experience that you have from building a company the first time and taking that into the next level.
Now let's talk about the process of establishing the new vision. You say we, so I'm presuming that you and all the officers in the shuttlecraft sat around the boardroom table, had a beer, a glass of wine, and said, okay, guys, we need to establish a new vision. What's the steps, the three steps to establishing a new vision in your mind?
So even though we were producing kind of a tactical result, if you want to look at it that way, you know, we're making a thing. We were making that thing for a reason. Why? So what we wanted to do is we wanted to step back. It was an iterative process. It did take a while. It involved a lot of coaching and peer group discussions and mentoring. You mentioned EO. EO was massively influential in this whole process of really getting my headspace to a great space. But really it was coming together with the people that was within this company. I'll be honest, we did lose some people through this process. We actually lost a partner because their values didn't align with where we were really going to take the company. But for us, it starts with values. And why do we get up in the morning? How do we want to solve our clients' problems? What's this company going to be, and how can we become the disruptor for this industry because we're no longer bound by the old rules? We do things for certain reasons. So we wanted to take the values that we had, take a step back, and figure out how can these values work in a different paradigm? How can we apply this to our clients to solve different problems or even solve the same problems but solve them in a different way?
So if we were to take a look at warning signs and the warning signs that you think other entrepreneurs should be aware of that will make them see a changing market around them, have you got an idea of three warning signs, changes that our business owners across the country should be thinking about, looking at, and always looking forward and in the rearview mirror at the same time?
I think it's important to not be afraid to disrupt yourself. I mean, our warning sign was that we got complacent and we stopped taking advantage of certain opportunities because we felt that we were covered and we didn't need to take the risks that were necessary to take for those new opportunities because we were doing well. Another one is listening to your customers. Because of how niched and specialized we were, we tended to get fed back the same stuff that we were putting out there. There were these warning signs that were there and we kind of glossed over them, and people asking us questions, okay, well, why can't you do things this way? Or do you guys offer this services? Or, you know, I heard from your competition that this is a better way to do things, and, you know, you guys are telling me be different. And when those things would come up, we'd gloss over them or we'd have some great excuses as to why we were right. And it's not that we weren't necessarily right, but it was that these were clear warning signs to us that there was other information in the market that we weren't properly addressing. We were not really listening to what our customers were saying to us, and we were just going about business. And I'd say the other, I don't know if it's necessarily a warning sign, but just being aware, just reading the news, understanding what's happening in the world. And you never know where disruption is going to come from. You never know what company or industry is going to rise up or is going to fall. And if you're not aware of what's happening in the world, then you're going to be blindsided by it.
You know, you made the comment in a discussion we were having earlier about dealing with entrepreneurs is like herding cats. And the challenge that I see for entrepreneurs is they've got their head focused to the grindstone, to the wheelhouse. They're everywhere in their business. And they're not always reading the newspaper. They're not getting involved in LinkedIn groups. They're not seeing what's going on around them. What's the piece of advice you think is most significant to make entrepreneurs aware of that they need to look around, see with an all-encompassing, all-seeing eye that this is the market that they're in and it's moving and it's changing very, very fast? How do we make them aware of that? What do they need to do?
The first thing is to get your head out of your business, to get out from behind your desk, to stop reading email. Because for me, that's the thing that sucks me down the most is that I get stuck in my Outlook. It's about putting up fires. It's about addressing issues. It's about getting stuck in the minutiae. But when you get out of your business and you can think of it from a 30,000 foot, and I know that sounds cliche, but it's true. I mean, you absolutely have to do it. And one of the great ways to do it is to get yourself involved in a peer group, is to get involved with other entrepreneurs. There's tons of organizations out there. Toronto is just a phenomenal, even Canada, just phenomenal environments for entrepreneurs, from the entrepreneurs organization that we mentioned before, which has a chapter in pretty much every major city, to tons of incubators. There's tons of different entrepreneurial groups. There's so many ways that you can get access to other like-minded people, whether or not you're commiserating with them, whether they're sharing stories, whether you're learning, whether it's just experience sharing, whether you are attending events or you're in forum-type groups or board of director-type groups, where you're really benefiting from the wisdom, the experience from other entrepreneurs who have either been there, done that, or are going through exactly the same things that you are. By the nature of that, you're going to become naturally exposed to tons of different industries. You're going to see things you didn't see before. You're going to learn things that you didn't know before. And that's really the best part about those kind of groups, is it forces you, especially if you're in a group that has scheduled things, you know, things that you are required to attend, which are put on with specified times, and force yourself to go do it, because it's so easy just to get stuck behind your desk, your computer. Oh, I got to respond to this email. Oh, shoot, I missed it. You know, I didn't get to go to that thing. But no, if you have to show up, and that's how you can get your mind that shifted from just the day-to-day stuff that's happening in your company.
Curtis Priest, founder and CEO, PixelCarve, pixelcarve.com. Curtis, thanks for being a terrific guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to see how we shifted the sand beneath the feet of our clients, take a look at benegold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night. And good night, Hydraulic, British Columbia.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.